This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
That's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Nice to have you along. You can reach the show, Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. NIL. Name, image, likeness.
Yeah, it's not that anymore, but it's kind of cute that we call it that.
It's the monies funneling to the kids. I was teasing this by saying that it's leading to an unlikely career. Have you seen? Well, no. Why don't you guys try to guess? Right. There is a major sports entity that has doled out 60 or so NIL deals to college athletes in all sports, different sports, since 2021. And it's leading them, when they're done playing in college, it's leading them to their entity.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what that is?
So this is like when
you have a guess?
This is like some sort of like when it's like a sports agency. They do this in baseball, right? Kind of where you bet on them being successful. Like, hey, we give you this money, and then we either get a portion of your salary, or you have to come work for our agency.
Yeah, they see something in them.
Yeah.
And they know they're probably not going. They're playing sports where they're done after they're in college.
Yeah.
But they have things that this sports entity could profit from.
Huh.
So they are using NIL as the pipeline. And it's a really good idea.
So it's people that aren't going to go on and be pros and make a bunch of money. Okay. So it's different than what I was thinking. All right. So let's take like a swimmer or something.
I'll give you another hint.
Is it Enterprise Rent-A-Car? Because they give you the tools to be your own boss. They always talk about hiring athletes.
No, a lot of the NIL deals that they've done are with football players and track and field
wrestling
stars. Volleyball is a big one because they have very strong necks, and gymnasts. What did you just say?
You said wrestling.
I said like wrestling.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, like the WWE.
Wow.
It's the WWE.
Yeah.
Okay. So WWE. So Shawn Michaels is in charge of like
their like development.
Development. Yeah,
yeah, I could see that. It's like Shawn Michaels and like Triple H is there, and
yeah, Shawn Michaels is the old wrestler, and he is in charge of this. And I was reading an article with him in it, and he said that what they figured out was, you know, because like Dwayne The Rock Johnson played football,
Miami, but like,
and he went to WWE, but he said they've never really had a pipeline. They've always just gone to the lower end circuits of wrestling and yanked guys or women from there.
Yeah.
But what they figured out was a lot of these athletes, one, you don't have to pay them all that much money. Mm-hmm. And two, you can train them so fast because once they're done playing college sports, they're in great shape. They go to Orlando.
They're already coordinated.
Yes, they're excellent. Like I said, the volleyball players, they say, have particularly strong necks, which they can handle the falls. You can imagine the gymnasts being really good.
Sure.
And they only have to, they said normal training is like 5 years for mm-hmm. some of their guys or some of their wrestlers. This is a year or two. And what they do is they scour Instagram and TikTok and look for college athletes who connect with an audience, who have personality. And if they do that, and they look like they have, you know, I mean, there's certain size requirements and things. Yeah. If they check all those boxes, they hit them up through DM and they give them an NIL deal. And they say, when you're done, you don't have to sign with them or anything, but when you're done, come out to Orlando, we'll train you up and we'll give you a career.
Well, I'm thinking about it. So The Rock was a backup at Miami. But he was there.
Bill Goldberg.
Goldberg was a lineman at Georgia. I think Roman Reigns was Georgia Tech.
Lesnar was like South Dakota or something, right?
No, Lesnar wrestled at Minnesota.
Oh, he wrestled at Minnesota.
He was like a national champion wrestler. Kurt Angle was a collegiate wrestler. Who is the big guy? Diesel, the big
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash. He was a basketball player at Tennessee. He got kicked out, I guess, for beating up his coach.
Oh.
But yeah, he was a Tennessee basketball player. But that's the other one. Dude, go find some basketball players that are like 6'11", but are kind of stiff, but are just these monstrous bodies. And same thing with like big 6'7" volleyball players, and turn them into
That's what they're doing.
Wrestlers.
And so of the 60 NIL deals that they handed out since 2021, 8 have signed on to train with them in Orlando.
Huh.
And Shawn Michaels, it's kind of eerie, but the last quote that he says in there on this article that I was reading, he says, you know, it's actually worked out kind of well, just us scouring for talent in NCAA. He said, what if we actually tried?
Yeah. it makes a lot of sense. I played with a handful of guys that I thought weren't necessarily the best players. They were solid, but dude, they were freaks, like terrifying human beings. And physically just, we always made the joke, looked like Tarzan, played like Jane. Like you'd see the guy, we called those get off the bus first guys. Because if you, like, in high school when you would, you know, go to the other...
Yeah, you send your biggest and baddest out first to be intimidated.
Yeah, and they weren't great players, but, God, they looked the part. Like, why wouldn't you make that kid a WWE wrestler? And for those kids, like, if you want to continue to make money in a non-education sort of field...
It's kind of fun.
And if you're into the connecting with people on the social medias and the TikToks and you want to stay athletic and competitive and, like... Yeah, it sounds kind of cool.
Did they ever unionize wrestlers?
No.
That's a problem.
That is not a...
You got to be careful.
Yeah, they're all independent contractors.
Yeah, because they chew them up and spit them out.
Yep.
So hopefully those kids are aware of that.
Well, and they die at an alarming rate. Yeah. But I guess when I was watching that Vince McMahon thing, they were talking about this. The schedule for... they've gotten a lot better. They don't wrestle 300 days a year, and they're...
Yeah.
I think they're aware that it's bad for business when everyone dies at 45.
Yeah. Well, and there's going to be a revolt eventually.
Yes.
I mean, you can't...
So, I think they've...
Hopefully they've gotten better, but I can't imagine it's...
It's still a tough life.
Yeah, it is. It's not the most glorious...
No. Well, I mean, like, when you take a bunch of roids and HGH and you swell all your organs, and then you take a bunch of amphetamines to get up... And then you take a bunch of painkillers to deal with it. Yeah, that's usually not a great recipe for your organs.
Let's explore Project Rudy. You heard about this yet?
Oh, my God. I hope this doesn't involve Rudy Rudiger.
Oh, you hope.
I just want you to know, if it involves that little con artist, I'm going to kick this thing square in the nuts.
Okay.
Well, sounds like he's excited.
Yeah. I don't know how you will kick it in the nuts, but
I will find a way.
Like to,
how does anyone still believe that line of horse crap that guy peddles?
Well, I guess
we'll find out next.
Yeah, we're going to find out next.
Con artist
on the Fan. What a question on the Vancouver Ford text line. This is what the Vancouver Ford text line is for.
Yeah.
Who's worse? Rudy Rudiger, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh my God. Are you going to make me pick? You say,
well,
like,
yes.
I have to hang out with one of them?
No, who's worse? Rudy Rudiger.
Yeah, Giuliani.
Yeah. Okay, so you have to hang out with one of them.
I think I'm hanging out with Rudiger.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I could stomach Giuliani.
All right, Mary Bonk Kill. Giuliani, Rudiger, Rudy Gobert.
Ooh.
I'd have to marry Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, me too.
I'd have no choice. I'd have no choice.
And which then one are you balking?
And then I'd have to make sweet, sweet radio love
to Rudiger. You can't.
No.
You can't boink Giuliani. Giuliani's dead.
I can't. He just,
he's down to boink others.
Maybe I marry Giuliani. Actually, you know what? I'm changing. No. I'm marrying Giuliani. He's going to be dead tomorrow. Dude, that guy's got one foot in the grave. And then I tell him, on our honeymoon, we're going to go on a long cruise together. And guess what? Oops. Someone tells me that, that grease is going to cause him to slip over a railing.
So Project Rudy.
I already hate this. I don't even know what it is.
Well, I'll just read it to you. Okay, it's from CBS Sports. Presidents and chancellors from the Big 12 and at least a portion of the ACC will meet next month to view formal presentations from leaders of two proposed college football postseasons. The widely circulated, much discussed College Student Football League and Project Rudy would essentially end the NCAA's oversight of major college football. Both would include a fraction of the current 134-member football bowl subdivision and be funded by outside entities. Baylor president Linda Livingstone initially sent a letter to the CEOs of the other Power Four schools regarding a summit about the future of college sports. The Athletic first reported the correspondence from Livingstone to the other conferences. However, details have emerged on how the meeting came about. Big 12 presidents first wanted to hear more about postseason proposals, which emerged this year before they meet with the other Power Four schools. So North Carolina AD Bubba Cunningham said it's disappointing that they poo-pooed it. Even if you attend the meeting and participate and decide it wasn't for you, that would be at least better thing to do. But just to dismiss it out of hand is frustrating. And they're talking about the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah,
because they won't attend.
Yeah, I hate to say this to the Big 12 and the ACC, but as long as it's just you guys, no one cares. That's like...
Yeah. Well, don't you think this
Hey, guys, I just want you to know I'm having a bikini party over at my house, and you guys are invited. We don't have any girls coming, but it's going to be pretty kick-ass. Yeah, so just come on over.
Don't you think this is more about them if the SEC and Big Ten leave them behind?
Yeah, it's possible.
You know, they're kind of figuring out ways, you know, because all ideas should be on the table.
And they're trying to get the Big Ten and the SEC to listen, and they're trying to propose a model that makes sense. The problem for them is every model that they're going to propose lifts them up. And when you're the SEC and the Big Ten, you don't need to be lifted up. You're already there. So this is the biggest hurdle that these other conferences have, is they have to find a pie so big that they get to feast, but is also a big deal for the SEC and the Big Ten, which already makes so much money, it's really hard. Oh, and by the way, it can't restrict any access to playoffs or make it harder for the Big Ten and the SEC. So you're trying to thread. It's the camel through the eye of a needle. Is there something there? Possibly. Do I think it's going to happen? No. I think it would have to be led by the Big Ten and the SEC. And then unfortunately for the ACC and the Big 12, it would probably be, you're going to be better than where you're at now, but you're still going to get the leftovers from the Big Ten and the SEC. You just hope that your leftovers, if the Big Ten and the SEC came to those other conferences and said, hey, instead of $33 million, right, we're going to make you $56 million. But instead of $90 million, we're going to make $200 million. And we're also going to get 75% of the playoff slots. If you're those other conferences, you kind of have to take it, because the alternative is nothing. The alternative is they just do their own thing anyways, or you continue to flail about at your 30, 33 million. So that's ultimately, I think, the proposal that's going to knock down this wall, is someone will come to the Big Ten and the SEC and say, hey, put this together, give them a bigger slice of the pie, but your pie becomes enormous. But this Project Rudy thing, go away.
So we've got the Super League one, which is Turnkey ZRG. We've talked about them before. Yeah. That's the one that they would take the top 80 and create a single entity league similar to the NFL. We've talked about that. They've already proposed, the different, this was top 80. I think it was 10, there were 8 10-team leagues based off of geography. And then Project Rudy is slightly different. It would include the top 70 schools with funding from Smash Capital, which is a private equity firm. The $9 billion investment would expand the college football postseason and feature tiered revenue distribution. In both cases, the bottom of FBS would not be included. Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, recently questioned a system that essentially bifurcates FBS.
Yeah.
So you got them tugging at this too.
Yeah. It's,
but
some eventually is going to come along. It just, it's going to be led from the top down, and it's adorable that the bottom thinks that they can, you know, the tail can wag the dog.
Bifurcate.
Yeah. You're well, not, they're listening.
Yeah.
And I would too. I mean, you gotta.
But you have to.
You have to. Yeah, you gotta take that meeting. You gotta listen to what people are saying.
I applaud the attempt, but when's the last time that the also ran was able to topple the big boy? It just, I guess that's why they call it Project Rudy, right? It's like, oh, the little engine that could. But I hate to tell you this, but. Like Joe Montana went on to be the greatest quarterback of all time, and Rudy went on to lie and get a crappy movie made about himself. They're not the same. They're not. Like, why would Ohio State and Oregon and Alabama and LSU, why would they do this and make it harder for themselves?
Sounds like they have a variety of proposals.
They do have a variety of
there have been a variety of proposals.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
The NBA reportedly discussing yet another change to the All-Star game.
Really?
Yay.
Met with tepid response. Wow.
Yeah, they're taking a
picture. Are you going to make them care this time?
Wow. The NHL tried this. Well, they actually did it.
The same thing?
Yeah.
This format.
It's in the same.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, kind of. Oh. Yeah.
So they want to shift to a four-team tournament for next year's All-Star game.
Yeah.
This is according to Shams. It would be 8-man teams.
Yeah.
4 8-man teams. And 3 of the teams would consist of All-Stars, and then the 4th team would be the winner of the Rising Stars game.
All right, that's a little different.
Which is kind of dumb because they would lose.
And also, they're not All-Stars.
No.
They're Rising Stars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it adds a little. It adds a little.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like having Mac McClung in the dunk contest. Is it good?
They're trying to add the upset component there.
Yeah, the NHL did 3-on-3.
Really?
And I thought
the NHL had a good All-Star
game.
Well,
they do. They just, they have played around. They've done international versus North America. They've done the traditional.
But they went away from the two teams, East-West, and they did this teams of, like, they did 3-on-3 skates.
Three-on-threes.
And the fans thought it was so dumb, they revolted by voting in the worst player in the league who had to get recalled from the minors just to go to the All-Star game. Yeah.
The NHL has played around, but they did try, instead of obviously 8-man teams, they did 3-man teams. The NHL throws a lot of different stuff at their All-Star game in different formats to get people to care. And you know what? No one ever cares.
Yeah, I don't think I'll care either, but I see where they're going. Like, it's interesting, like handicapping the teams
sure.
and which team you think will win.
Yeah.
And then I won't watch and
problem line,
read about who wins.
The idea that if no one cared on 5-on-5, why would anyone care? So 8-man team, would they do 3-on-3 or 4-on-4?
No, I just think they'd have 3 guys off the bench, right?
It would just be, maybe they'd go like play games to 10 or something like that. They'd do like some sort of round robin or.
Let me ask this question. No one will play in the current format changing to this.
Where they have to play more.
Why? That's. Seems kind of counterproductive.
Oh, because respect and pride are on the line in this format.
No one wants to play in this thing, and no one wants to put forth any effort. But hey, we're going to have you play more minutes.
They need to just put down a fat cash prize.
Yeah,
that's
they need to do the Squid Games thing where you just put like that big, like put like $20 million in cash in that big ball, like a strip club, and then whoever wins, that thing just rains down upon the like. Mm. And then we get some hots out there.
I like that.
Yeah, now,
people might play a little defense.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there's $20 million in some hots here that are going to be rolling around in this cash. You want to get some guys to play hard.
You know, they just start making back alley deals. They're like, all right, we're going to go easy on each other. We'll give you a cut. It's fine.
Well, they're also saying, and this will be the highlight of the All-Star festivities next year, Steph Curry is apparently behind a lot of this. Like, he's giving them a lot of input on what they need to do.
Yeah.
But he's going to, you know, he did the 3-point challenge against Sabrina.
Yeah.
He's going to do that against Caitlin Clark
next
year.
Hey, do they know that Caitlin Clark is white?
How about that?
Caitlin Clark is white.
Deals in and says, easy solution, NBA All-Star game, race wars.
Yeah, there you go.
That was the... Who started that? Because it was
Will Compton in the NFL.
Yeah, but it was someone that had the idea, and then Will Compton ran with it.
He, I don't remember who he kind of made it go viral. Yeah. But I don't remember who started it.
Yeah, he said the we'd have the race war team, the all black team versus the all white team. I think the whites got the polys too, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you see what Joe Mazzulla said recently? He's got more hot takes.
I guarantee it's insane.
Yeah, he's talking about. I didn't really understand it because I don't really understand how soccer works, you know, like international soccer.
Sure.
But he's saying that the NBA should change to a more international soccer type model.
Like a relegation model?
Not relegation as much as like be able to loan players and play all around the world at different times.
Is an NBA player signing up for that?
Yeah.
I mean, international soccer, it might be cool if it could work, but like those guys don't want to do that.
So here's what he said. Let me just read you what he said. He said, I'm sure every sport wants a version of another sport, but I think it's really cool in soccer and even basketball overseas when you're playing in three leagues at the same time. Like Tuesday is a cup game, but Saturday might be a domestic league game. That shift in psychology and balancing all that is really fun. Mazzulla is a big fan of European soccer. He admitted to studying Manchester City extensively after they won four consecutive EPL titles. Clubs in top European leagues compete in several domestic and international tournaments throughout the regular season. Premier League clubs, for example, participate in the FA Cup. You know, whatever, yeah, blah, blah, blah. He says he'd be on board with a similar model in the NBA. He says it's always cool studying the games. You'll see sometimes with the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup, it's like you still want to win it. Sometimes the superstars do rest, and to me it validates your team, your bench, your roster. It validates that even more. He goes, I love the idea. It's fascinating. Imagine like having three NBA cups, like you're playing 35 domestic league games and three other cup games.
Again, that sounds fun for him and for someone to manage, but I can't see players being like, yes, let me play in three leagues simultaneously.
He said, what if you do 72 regular season games and 10 cup games, so you have to fill a 10-game tournament? That'd be cool if there was like a Champions League in the NBA where you played EuroLeague teams or played teams from different countries. Like, that would be cool.
If those teams could compete with you and they can't.
And then he saved his boldest take for last, suggesting the NBA look into the loan system that European clubs have where players can go to other clubs on loan for a finite period of time before returning to their original squad.
See, yeah. I think that actually makes the most sense of anything he said.
Yeah, really? So if you're dog-ass...
You just do all, almost like a sublease contract and say, like, this team isn't going anywhere right now, but someone else could use you. It's a temporary trade kind of.
So the Blazers could, winning too many games, they could loan all their players out?
Yeah, you, like, lease out Jeremy Grant and say, if we're better, we get you back. If not, we'll cut you loose.
He says, it's a good system. I mean, you get a player on loan because it prevents situations where you have to put a guy into a trade that you still kind of believe in, but you have to do it. You could loan him.
I mean, yeah, this is all European soccer. You're basically saying rip down fundamental everything about the NBA. So,
yeah.
I mean,
they're
NBA already trying
sucks.
The in-season tournament, and none of the players, at least, and for the most part, none of the coaches are really acting any differently about it. And so, if you want to spark something like that, they've got to start by taking this current in-season tournament
again,
serious.
Can you imagine the NBAPA and the collective bargaining that would take around that? That would... Good luck.
Well, I still don't really understand it.
Oh. Well, if you followed...
So this NBA Cup that the Blazers played the other night.
Yes.
It's like during your regular season, you have multiples of those.
Yes.
So there's little mini tournaments within your regular schedule, and even sometimes you're playing teams from leagues overseas.
Yes. So in European soccer...
Like, the best example is probably the English Premier League, where you have that going. They have their FA Cup, which is basically all of UK. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the teams in your league, but it's lower levels. And
like, there's one in North America, like the MLS teams.
Yep.
Like, well, they take breaks because then you're playing other teams for a cup that's in North America. And then, like, when you win the Premier League, then you go play in the Champions League.
It is interesting the way they juggle rosters and decide what's more important or pressing now. Do we want to lean into this regular season game early on?
The difference between that is there's so many different leagues. I mean, I guess you would just have to wrap in all the European and all the international
leagues. The problem is I don't think those other leagues are close enough to being on par with the NBA for it to be competitive that way.
Hey, I don't hate it. The NBA is a joke anyway, so
Hey, shake it up. I'm with it.
I like Mazzulla. Put Mazzulla in charge of everything.
Yeah, he wants us to fight again.
He's great.
Yeah, he's the same guy. Yeah, he wants the hockey fights.
He wants
in the
fights.
NBA.
He also said you can't hurt him with his words because in 40 years you won't come to his funeral.
Right. I love that. That's right.
The greatness that is Joe Mazzulla.
It's like Confucius Mike Tyson telling that poor girl there's no such thing as legacy. Legacy is just ego.
That is something that I have not heard before.
Thank you, Mike. Please stay away from my children.
But he's right. He's right. In the news is coming up next. Something that you will like very, very much.
Specifically, I'm excited.
Next, here is Buck.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice to have you along. You know, somebody does ask on the text line, are you telling me, Suk, that if your daughter became friends with Mike Tyson and wanted to bring him to dinner, you wouldn't be a little excited?
No, I wouldn't. I do not get why people like Mike Tyson. I get why you're fascinated with him.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't know that it's like. I think it's just he's an interesting figure.
But he's like this beloved figure. And look, I have nothing against Mike. Dude, go do you, man. But Mike Tyson is a violent, awful human being that is a convicted rapist.
You don't want your daughter hanging out with him. Why would I want my daughter?
I think he's just saying, look, if you're sitting down to dinner with Mike Tyson, it's probably going to be a pretty interesting combo.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, well, I'm good. I don't need to have that conversation. I just don't understand the cult figure that is Mike Tyson. But it's one of the more interesting cases of a narrative 180. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like it, to be honest with you. I mean, he
doesn't get a lot of the, you know, like the, well, who's the Hollywood guy that
Weinstein?
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein. He doesn't get any of that.
He doesn't get all the canceled pushback.
Nobody really comes back.
He didn't
back
get canceled. I mean, it was in a pre-canceled era.
But
if he had done something like that in the last 10 years,
Mike Tyson
be.
Beat multiple women. He assaulted all kinds of people out on the street. He generally spent 35 years being one of the worst human beings.
He's a really violent human being.
And then, like, he kind of became old and pathetic, and he quit at the end of his career. And then he did The Hangover, and like, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, Mike Tyson's like this beloved figure. It's just, it's puzzling to me. So,
all right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, so he would fight tonight. He would not like to sit down to dinner with Mike Tyson.
No, I'm good. I don't need that.
It is November 15, 2024. It is time for In the News. I'm Inodo Newsman. Hello. Thank you. This is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Please be seated. Or stay standing and cheer loudly for me.
Woo!
Thank you.
Can I cheer while seated, though? I don't want to stand up.
No, that's fine.
My back's kind of tight.
Take a good cheer.
Thank you.
It is National Raisin Bran Cereal Day.
I will fully admit, I never eat cereal, but a bowl of Raisin Bran is delicious.
Yeah, it's great.
If you put a bowl of Raisin Bran in front of me right now, I'd
eat it.
I'd eat it. I'm a little hungry. Raisin Bran is it's viewed as an old man cereal, and first off, it's full of sugar like anything else. I find Raisin Bran delightful.
It is also Steve Irwin Day.
Oh, also
Crikey,
Crikey!
I'm glad he has his own day.
The bum of this alligator.
Yeah, you think the kids have any idea about Steve Irwin?
Probably not. The craziest
think Dylan thing, Gabriel knows about Steve Irwin.
The craziest thing about Steve Irwin is that guy spent decades messing with some of the most dangerous creatures on the planet. From like the deadliest snakes to like 20-foot saltwater crocs and a stingray,
yeah,
which I've petted at the zoo.
Nobody saw that coming.
Took him out.
No, it should have been a gator, a croc, a lion, a hippo.
Something.
But instead, little algae from the stingray.
I think the croc, yeah. Come on, we all thought he'd get his head, you know.
He put his head in a crocodile's like a mouth multiple times.
I thought a snake.
Yeah, that too.
Because he felt very comfortable around crocs. I watched him handle some of those like venomous cobras.
And they're like fainting at him. They're like darting at him, like trying to get him.
I thought one of those would get him in the neck.
Yeah.
And that would kind of be the end of it. What a stingray to the heart.
Well, here's the story that you would like. Beginning this week in Portland, if your vehicle does not have at least one license plate or VIN displayed, the city of Portland could tow you from public spaces.
And by the way, don't threaten it. Do it. Do it.
The Portland Bureau of Transportation announced that it will start enforcing an ordinance the city passed in August that allows no notice towing for vehicles that fail to display at least one of those identification methods. And what this is applying to is all those RVs that are parked everywhere that nobody knows where they come from and they aren't registered.
Zook loves those.
Yeah, those apply here.
Can we start with go to Moda Center? There's that weird, like, what is that? Is it Broadway or Weedler, the one that's Weidler? Right there that runs in front of the Moda Center, and there's, like, an Econo Lodge, and there's a parking lot right there. There is a black spray-painted RV and another big one across the street. They have been there for 4 years.
I'm calling you out specifically!
For 4 years!
Do they have tags?
No. They've been in the same spot for 4 years, and when you walk by them, it smells like meth and piss. Tow them USA, first.
USA, USA, USA.
Come on.
What if tow lots become our new homeless encampments? Because they tow these.
Have you ever met the people that run those lots?
Oh yeah, I got my car towed.
That's
a seedy place.
Yeah, it is. Those people don't mess around.
But what was I going to tell you? Oh yeah, what if the people are just in them, and they're just like wait, is this moving? Where are we going?
Gotta go.
So I don't know if they'll do that.
Gotta go.
Well, I can't imagine they'll do that.
Gotta go.
There's no way Portland will let them tow something with somebody in
it. Then have someone waiting outside, like in the peekaboo bushes, and as soon as they leave, gather copper wire or whatever, hook that thing up, and get it out of there. 4 years it's been parked there. As you can tell, that thing bothers me every time I walk by it.
So now you know what they're going to do. They're just going to throw on license plates.
Yeah, you actually have to have a real license plate, don't you think?
But then, I mean, wouldn't it be the most Portlandia thing ever that they just throw on these
and we're like, oh,
goofy fake license plates and Portland's like, oh, okay.
The new mayor seems to at least care about this. Keith.
Captain Keith.
I'm on board.
Our new fearless leader.
Well, you know, and by the way, we've told people, like, there is an area that we can bring these things to and you can stay there. You still get to do whatever the hell you want. Like, I want to have compassion.
Well, that's a non-starter then. They need to be able to do whatever they want.
Screw that.
Like, I have compassion. Like, I get it. This is your home. Cool. This is where you're allowed to put your home. But when you're there, you have to follow some sort of... And by the way, can we admit that those are, like, the easiest guidelines in the history of mankind? And they're like, nope, going to live on my own terms. Well, then guess what? We're going to tow your shanty.
Oh. We have donkey bite news.
Ooh. Not donkey punch.
No. That's different.
It's nearly sexual in nature.
Those are very different.
Donkey bite lawsuit next on The Fan. All right. Got one more story for you here on In the Nuez from your noted newsman. And it is about a donkey bite
I've never been bit by a donkey, but I've been bit by a horse. And let me tell you, that thing hurts.
They got some chompers.
Yeah, Patches bit me, that old bitch.
Who's Patches?
That was my crappy horse that my...
Oh, that's right. You guys had a...
I had a horse. Trust me, under no circumstances should you ever get a horse unless, well, you shouldn't. But it, like, if you have a house that can, like, a ranch. But no, we just kept the horse at someone else's place. His name was Patches, and I hated that damn thing, and it bit me. And guess who still had to clean up after it? Me.
I view horses much like high-end sports cars. Yeah. In that, if you're going to dabble, just... go all the way. Mm-hmm. Like, have, if you either have the money or you don't.
Yeah, you
don't
can't buy
pretend.
Like a used Lamborghini.
Exactly.
You should not be half-assing it with a horse.
That's right.
Oh, believe me, I half-assed it with Patches.
Yeah, bad decision.
Well, that wasn't your decision, was it?
No, it wasn't. My in-laws had this horse that they couldn't take care of anymore, and they're like, you know who would love this horse? Your girls. Next thing you know, guess what I end up with? Patches.
A rural... Excuse me. A rural Oregon woman has filed a $49,500 lawsuit after she said a donkey walking along Main Street in her tiny town bit her in the thigh.
I love everything about this story. There's just a donkey walking around Main Street.
Nipping people.
Nipping them. She said she had surgery and left her with a significant scar from the attack. Her name is Kelsey Chandler.
Girl, you something else.
She says that she was walking through the center of Mitchell, Oregon, population 137, when she spotted the donkey on the loose in April of 2024.
Where is Mitchell?
Sook's looking that up. I saw his hands moving.
Believe me, I immediately needed answer to these questions because I feel like Mitchell, Oregon is about like where I went.
Is
that
the smallest town in Oregon? What's the smallest town? 173 is really down there.
It's in Wheeler County.
137?
Yeah, 137. Boy, smallest town in Oregon is a great question because some down way in the deep southeast out there, I mean, I don't even know if towns exist, but if they do, there's like 5 people on them.
Yeah. It is, I'm trying to look at what it's over by. I mean, it's really near nothing. It's just kind of, just the middle of the state. I mean, I guess the closest thing is Redmond, and it's nowhere near Redmond. Like halfway maybe between Redmond and John Day. I mean, there's nothing.
According to internet, Greenhorn, Oregon.
I was just looking that up.
Have you seen that? Population 3.
Yeah. And then right behind it, Lone Rock, that has about 20 residents.
Well, in 2010, Mitchell had 130 people. So.
Mitchell?
Yeah, that's where the donkey, that's where this went down.
So. She says that she was walking through the center of Mitchell when she spotted the donkey on the loose. The suit states that when she tried to secure the animal and return it to its owner, the animal attacked her and bit her on the thigh. Now, you know, if I'm the judge, I'm like, well, what are you doing messing with the donkey? You're not a donkey handler.
No, I mean, that is true. I mean, and we don't know. Did she rough the donkey up?
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe the donkey's in the right here. I'll tell you what.
Did she provoke the donkey?
Yeah, I'm not giving her a dime.
What was she wearing?
Now, listen to this. Gordy Duckler. A Portland attorney who specializes in animal law and filed the lawsuit on behalf of Chandler.
He's big into donkey law?
Said he has represented clients in an estimated 350 animal bite cases during his 37-year career. This is his first over a donkey bite. The vast majority have been dog bites, though he also handles cases of cats, parrots, and horses.
We need the advocates on this stat. We need to call Ken and Donnie and be like, hey, how are you on donkey law? And by the way, Jacob Crawford, who owns the donkey, says he's a 30-year-old donkey and he's never done anything aggressive towards anybody.
Yeah, I bet she. Yeah. Look, I'm not giving her a dime.
That donkey's getting a bad rap.
That's right.
You get your hands off my donkey.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. And by the way, I'm seeing the photo of the donkey here. It looks like a good donkey. I can tell by the photo that donkey's got kind of.
Do you know
eyes.
The donkey's name?
Does yeah.
It say?
Is the donkey's name is Highway.
Okay.
Spelled Highway. And apparently it's a well-known fixture in Mitchell.
Yeah.
The guy who owns it, like you said, he has owned Highway since 2010. He used to bring him to residents' yards to eat down their grass.
Yeah.
He's like a mowing service.
No one had any problem with this donkey, except this old lady that just decided to wander. I think this lady's looking for a cheap payday. And by the way,
$49,500?
Look, you needed surgery. What sort of surgery did you need when you got bit by a donkey?
Well, I guess you could get maybe cited for not keeping the donkey confined.
Yeah, but it sounds like the donkey was part that...
I know. Like, this is Mitchell, Oregon. Anything goes. Like, yeah. This isn't normal life.
I am stating for the record that if I was on that jury, that lady would get jacked squat. I'm team highway here. I like this donkey.
She's also had to receive painkillers and antibiotic injections to treat her wounds.
I've learned that Mitchell, Oregon is the place of the first found dinosaur fossil in Oregon.
Oh, awesome.
There's that.
I've never been to Mitchell. I don't plan on going to Mitchell.
You might have gone through it. If you've been out to John Day, it's past Prineville and Redmond. It's off 26.
Thanks for listening.
he literally said that literally 3 said minutes that. Ago.
But
were you listening to the dude's story?
I just heard him say it's in Wheeler County.
Maybe Dallas Buck has been out there.
I'll tell you this right now.
That's his kind of place.
If I'm ever driving through Mitchell, Oregon, you better believe there's one reason and one reason only that I'm pulling over, and that's to see Highway the Donkey. I will seek out that donkey because I want to give that donkey like a carrot and give him a who's a good boy. Oh, that donkey did anything wrong.
Well, they're saying he got out because there were some neighborhood dogs that were running around. See, again, anything goes in Mitchell.
They're eating the dogs.
Exactly.
And they were, apparently there was a pack of dogs, and they broke through the fence.
They're eating the pets.
And that allowed Highway to get out through that part of the fence and roam free.
Yeah, well, it sounds like no one had a problem with it except for this lady.
And now they say Highway lives in a pasture way out of town, way outside of town.
Now I feel
he's
bad.
Been jettisoned.
Now I
he's
feel probably bad happy for Highway. There. Yeah, Highway's been banished.
He's probably fine.
Highway did nothing wrong. And again, I can just tell by looking at him, he looks like a good donkey. I love donkeys.
Boy, I'm looking at the pictures of Mitchell, Oregon. Yeah. Jesus.
No, you don't need to be there.
God.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you know towns like this exist. I'm from Kansas, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. But it's still wild to just, I don't know, the goings on and seeing the buildings. And
you should come to the Eastern Oregon Crab Feed with us next year.
It's like from the 1800s.
Me and Dusty.
Hey, yeah, how about this? I'll meet you there.
Believe me, I was knee deep in this for an entire weekend. Yeah, call me when you've saddled up to the Hitchin' Post, the one bar. Where was that? I'm trying to think of the name of the town we were at. But it's very much like Mitchell. And the least surprising thing would have been a donkey roaming the streets. Of all the things I saw, the most normal would have been a donkey wandering around. Although I did see Dallas Buck talking about his snowmobile.
Now, there's in the news, November 15, 2024. It's brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Hot 55 is next on The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.